Welcome to the Hardware Asylum Podcast. In this episode, we talk about our latest upgrades to hardwareasylum.com, our new server build, bringing you new features and better performance. I'm your host, Dennis Garcia, and with me today, I have Darren McKay.
Dennis, I know you've been posting an awful lot on the social media and also on the website.
Yep.
About your new server upgrade for Hardware Asylum and also Ninja Lane.
Oh, yeah. That was, that was like a month-long process to from start to finish. But I am extremely pleased with the result.
Well, we don't talk a lot here about enterprise-level services and enterprise hardware, which is really, I think, kind of what this is.
Yeah.
But I thought it might be interesting to walk through the process of upgrading and replacing the server for the system for the folks that don't get that service from us a lot. Because for me, this is a really educational system. I don't work a lot with that type of hardware.
Mm-hmm. And truth be told, as I've mentioned on previous episodes and also on the website, I am a programmer by trade. So my skills are in building web applications and you know, databases and stuff like that. But as part of that, I need to be able to access that equipment in an easily digestible manner. So for instance, in the office, I would have access to the dev servers, and that's where our code was being hosted at and where everything was just being piled together so that we all could work at the same time.
All right, so tell me real quick, what's a dev server to you?
A dev server is one of those boxes that is not in production.
Okay.
So it's a development server.
That makes sense.
So this is where all of the programmers, maybe it's myself, maybe it's myself plus 10 other people, maybe it's myself plus 10 other people plus a system administrator. You get the idea. The intent is that we have one location where everything is and everybody can kind of work on it at the same time.
Okay, so you have a dev server.
Yep. Now, that is in the office. And now when I'm working on my personal projects, I wanted to replicate that experience. And so I put in the work and actually built another server that I call my dev server that's local. It started its life as my developmental server for my personal projects because I was familiar with one way of doing development.
Okay.
And, you know, I had to learn how to put that together. And that's kind of a very important point for why the upgrade happened for Hardware Asylum and Ninja Lane.
Okay. So we had this server. Mm-hmm. And how old was this original machine? How long ago did you build it?
Okay, so the original one that I replaced, it was right at the lockdown. So during, 2020, sometime around then, I had to move from one hosting service to another hosting service, and I wanted to provide good uptime for the people coming to visit the website. There was a lot of traffic coming and going.
Right.
So I bought a server, put it into the new data center, set it up, and then basically redirected the DNS, which is the translation between hardwareasylum.com to an IP address X by X by X by X.
Okay. Well, that's not terribly technical. I think I'm following, right?
So the idea here is that at the data center where the server is being hosted, I put in a new box and it had been running nonstop 24/7 for the past 5 years.
So 5 years, you were ready for an upgrade.
Yes, I was ready. Actually, to be honest, the server, the performance was not really what I wanted, but I kind of dealt with it because one, it was the lockdown, and two, I did not have a lot of money to dive into building a box, which is something that we can talk about a little bit later.
Sounds good. So let's talk about this. You decided you needed a new server.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so when you go to shop for a server, because that's very different than my experience, you know, building a home PC or home theater PC or even a gaming PC, right? Mm-hmm. What do you look for? I mean, how do you shop for a server?
Shop for a box. Well, it's a lot like shopping for any computer, really. You and I, we are the enthusiast crowd. So we buy individual components and assemble our machines ourselves. So we can dial in our level of effort. Well, with a server, we have other constraints to deal with. Mostly, where is it going to live? For instance, I have Hardware Asylum and Ninja Lane is hosted in a data center, and it's just down the street. It's like 5 minutes away. At the data center, they have racks, and I'm sure that we've heard that term before. It's like a server rack, right? Well, that is where you would slide the box in and you basically bolt it to this rack, and then it just sits there forever and you get power and network and all that stuff. The data center charges by how much of that rack you consume.
Okay, so I think this is where it starts to get familiar. That's the blade, right? Is there a form factor like an ATX, or how does that work?
Oh, it's called a U.
Oh, that doesn't make sense.
Doesn't make much sense at all. But the U stands for unit.
Oh, okay.
So these racks that are in this data center, they're usually 42 U's or 42 units. And a unit is about 2 inches.
Oh, okay.
It's pretty in minuscule, really. Maybe it's 3 inches. I don't know. It's not a lot.
Okay. So you need multiples of these things?
Not necessarily. So for instance, the server that I upgraded and that I had before was an HP ProLiant. And those ProLiants, they have different unit configurations. So you could buy a 1U server, which is just, it occupies 1U in the server, in the data center. And then you could get a 2 or 3 or 4. Or you can even get up to a 6 or an 8, but at that point you are investing a whole lot of time and money into the box, and not the hosting of it is not that important.
All right, so now my curiosity is, they charge you, I'm assuming, by the size, mm-hmm. the space that you take, and I'm assuming by the usage also.
Yep, all of those things factor in. I'm lucky in that I have just a basic network connection. So they don't necessarily charge me for bandwidth. They used to charge me for bandwidth, and it would be like an X amount up and an X amount down. And if you exceeded that, then they would charge you extra.
Oh, I see. So if we go viral, right, it costs you.
Yeah. Well, and what's kind of funny is you look at the bandwidth charts for whenever we launch a podcast episode, and it would literally spike for about 2 days while all of our loyal listeners are pulling down the new episode to actually take a listen.
And we appreciate that.
Which is pretty awesome. Well, now I have just a direct connection. It's, I think, 100 megabit, which is not terribly fast, but that is how they limit how much data is coming and going and how they can actually charge me.
All right, so it's the size of the pipe.
Size of the pipe is one. The size of the U, that has a definite cost, and that's just a monthly fee for the occupying of that space. And then they add on top of that how many IP addresses I have assigned to myself. And that's basically a fee per IP address.
No, we don't want to give too much away. The hackers are listening.
Oh, yeah. And of course, power. Power is the big thing. And if you have like a 6U server, generally it's going to have a bunch of GPUs in it and it's going to pull a lot of power. They notice that and they charge you for it.
So I've seen this thing. I'm guessing that it's a 1U or 2U machine?
It's just a 1U.
Okay, so that makes sense because it's not tall.
Yeah, so basically it is a ProLiant, an HP ProLiant, DL360, and the 360 describes the U form factor, so that's the 1U. If you get a 2U, then it's a 380. And then they have what they call a 160, and that is the version of the 1U that supports larger drives for people that are really not flush with cash.
Okay.
So anyhow, the other part of it is HP puts a G or a generation and a number after that.
Okay.
So the previous server was a G8 or generation 8, and it was running basically the desktop equivalent of an X99 in terms of chipset.
Oh, so it is getting a little long in the tooth.
Yeah, it was pretty old. It was like a 2 gigahertz. But it was dual processor, and it had 32 gigabytes of memory. But that split across two processors, and architecture things aside, is basically I had 16 gigs of memory, which was okay for hosting a website, but it wasn't necessarily okay for hosting anything else useful. And that's what I wanted to do with this upgrade, was to do more useful things.
So what you got is a...
Yeah, I got the HP ProLiant DL360 G10, generation 10.
Two generations newer, got it.
And it has two Intel Xeon Gold 6132 processors running at 2.6 gigahertz each. But with Intel, they have the Intel Boost. And with the way that I have it configured, it's pretty much running at 3.2 gigahertz all the time.
Nice.
Which is great. That is a 14-core processor. hyper-threading, so it's 28 cores each or 28 threads each for a total of, I think, 56, if my math is correct. And the server that I purchased came with 64 gigabytes of memory, but then, you know, I can't leave anything alone, so I kind of went above and beyond. Now, the part that a lot of people may or may not understand is that the DL360 G10 is, I think, 3 years old at this point.
Okay. Now, the age is determined by things like the processor then?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the processor, the architecture that's in it.
Right.
And I purchased this server off of eBay. And the reason for that is because at around the 2 to 3 year mark is when companies start exiting hardware that has been out of lease and out of warranty. So when companies, large enterprises, buy servers, they buy them from HP, they'll pay almost $10,000.
Oh, wow.
For this server in this particular configuration. They'll put it in their data center and they'll run nonstop for 3 years until the depreciation on the books has reached its end, which is around 2 to 3 years. At around that time, it's also when HP says, well, you don't get a warranty anymore because we're only going to warranty for the time that is typically this depreciation period. And then after that, it served its purpose. It gets unracked and sent to recyclers. They reconfigure it, tweak it a little bit, and then throw it on eBay and give it a nice hefty discount.
So this is kind of the same concept as like a lease return car, right? You get a maybe a high mileage unit, if you will. You'd never know, but you can get, wow, 10,000 new. Yeah. I know that you paid less than a grand for yours, so that's huge depreciation.
Yeah, and it's basically, it went through its first phase of usefulness, and now it's coming into its second phase of usefulness. And truth be told, I've done this upgrade 4 times now over the course of NinjaLane and Hardware Asylum, and every time it was the lease return server that I got off of eBay, partially because it's cheap. The other part of it is that I am a highly technical individual that knows how to mess around with these components so I can actually put together what it is that I want to make it work the way that I need it to.
So I'm guessing that once you purchase this thing, then you've got to, you know, bring it up to speed, if you will. But I'm curious, before we go there, what happens to the old server?
Oh, so actually I do the enterprise route, and so they go to the recycler.
Ah, so yours could show up at an even lower price for the next fella that has a little bit smaller pocketbook or not as big a need.
Yeah, basically, I mean, at that point, I've gotten the use out of it that I needed it for, and it has no purpose for me, and then it just goes to the recycle. Now, the thing is, I could use it in like a home lab situation. You know, I have servers that run around the Hardware Asylum labs now that, you know, handle podcast editing and all of the storage for benchmarking and stuff like that. But that role is already served. And now I would have a box that is designed for a data center environment running in a server closet. It's not necessarily a great fit.
Gotcha. So you'd need a rack at your house with the right power, the right ventilation, all that space and need.
And,
okay.
And also sound deadening.
Oh, yeah. Tell me more.
Okay. So these 1U servers, they need to keep equipment cool that is normally put into a full tower computer chassis. So you and I both know that the systems we build, they're just a single processor. They have a pretty big video card in them. But when you put them in a small box, they don't cool very well.
Right.
And so if you put them in a larger box, you can put larger fans and they don't make a lot of noise, but then it can dissipate the heat. Well, now we have a server that is, or a box in this case, 2 inches tall.
1U. Got it.
1U. And you have to get the heat out. And you got 2 processors and whatever else, you know, the RAID cards and stuff like that. Well, these servers have 40 millimeter fans.
Oh, so they're little.
Yeah. Or 50 millimeter fans. But the fans are like 4 inches long. And they're high speed, high pressure fans. And they basically have a wall of these fans all the way across the front. Well, they run pretty much full speed all the time. You know, they will idle down, so they're not terribly loud. But they do have that delta screamer
Oh no.
Vibe. Darren knows what this means.
Yeah, I do. That's a good reference.
Yeah. So back in the day, heat sinks on our Athlon XPs and Pentium 4s were basically 60 millimeter fans, and some of them ran around 10,000 RPMs. And we didn't have much in the way of fan controls back then. So they ran full speed all the time. They were very, very loud.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I don't miss those days. Now, I'm also reminded, although it's been a while since I've been in a data center, that mm-hmm. when you install your system in a data center, it's a temperature controlled environment. It's cold.
Yeah.
So to help with the cooling, and you don't have that advantage at home.
No, definitely you don't.
Yep. All right. So you bought this DL360 G10. That's kind of a mouthful.
Yeah.
You mentioned that you needed to do some work on it. So let's talk about that.
Okay.
So what came in it and what needed to change and why?
All right. So the server, when it came to me, it had 64 gigabytes of memory. And it also had some extra hard drive bays that I didn't need. So I got to remove those, which was great. But it didn't come with any hard drives, which is normal because, you know, you get rid of a server, you're going to take the drives out and put them somewhere else to do data transfers.
Sure, like yeah.
But the 64 gigabytes really bothered me. Granted, it was enough to run my website, but these Xeon processors are 6 memory channels each. But with 64 gigabytes, you're only running one channel per processor. And so I was like, well, Mr. Performance in me says I need to expand this to actually occupy every one of the memory channels to get the best performance and also right. get more memory support.
Well, 64 doesn't sound like a lot when we're talking about a modern gaming PC. Now they're pushing us now up into 64 or even in some cases 96.
Oh yeah, definitely. And for this server, I went to 192. So I bought enough memory sticks to fill out every one of the memory channels across both processors. And it just turned out to be 192 gigabytes of memory, which is definitely more than I need. And I have some
future-proof.
It's future-proofing, yes.
So the G10, because I'm not as familiar with that level, what kind of memory does that run? Is this off-the-shelf memory like you'd buy for a PC?
It is registered DDR4.
Okay, so registered, that means something special?
Yeah, so within the memory module, there is an ECC error checking chip. So the registered memory, basically it has its own error checking within the memory module. And then the CPU and the memory talk to make sure that what the CPU sent to the memory is what the memory is sending back.
So the memory is used not just for processing, but it's going to speed up the whole performance of the system, right? Because we're caching a lot of stuff in and out, I'm guessing.
Yeah, there's some of that. The fact that there's more of it is really where the speed comes from. The error checking is more for reliability to ensure that the server is actually processing data the way that we want. There is a bit of overhead for the error checking, but on modern systems, you'd never see it.
Right. Well, you're limited by the bandwidth usually anyway.
Yeah.
So what else did you change on this system?
Well, I needed to buy a hard drive, so I bought 600 gigabyte 12 gig SAS drives. So the normal rotational SATA drives, the you know, SATA SSDs, whatever, they, on a PC, they are 6 gig, which is 600 megabits per second or something like that. On high-performance SAS controllers that are in the enterprise space, you can get all the way up to 12 gig. And it'll basically give you NVMe speeds over rotational drives within the enterprise space.
Very nice. Well, you prevent the bottleneck, right?
Yeah, it removes it considerably. And if you get the right drives together in the right RAID configuration, it really increases the snappiness of your box.
So why wouldn't you go with like an SSD, for example?
Well, part of it was cost. The HP DL servers are not necessarily the super high-end edition that HP sells.
Okay.
So while you can get SSDs for it, they're not fully supported, I should say. So really what they're looking for is this SAS form factor rotational drive to work in the hot swap base. You can replace it with an SSD, but then it doesn't actually work as an SSD. It's kind of difficult to explain, but
okay.
Part of it was cost, and the other part was it works better.
Now you mentioned that you didn't use all the drives. Was there a reason for that?
It's the RAID configuration within the server. So I had a high performance controller on this box, which was the P408i. Supports basically 8 drives. So you have 2 channels, 4 drives per channel. The way the server came to me, it was in a 10 drive configuration. And those extra 2 drives were enabled by an external controller. And I didn't need the controller because I'm going to be putting something there. So I was like, well, I pulled the controller out and now I have these 2 extra drive bays that aren't going to do anything because they're never hooked up to anything. So I pulled those out and then I replaced it with a vent of all things. Which is something that I thought was really kind of fun.
Get that airflow. And I like this project. So maybe real quick, we'll post a picture below or point you to an article, but
yeah.
What did you put in those spaces?
So I 3D printed a part, which was basically just something to occupy the space. Because once I remove those drive trays, then it's just an open space. And amazingly enough, not surprising really, once you remove that, then all of a sudden airflow just went through the server like crazy because there's a way for the air to get in. Otherwise, it has to sneak around the hard drives and the vents are really, really small and it's kind of a pain in the butt. So I pulled up some AutoCAD and 3D modeling skills, made a vent that fit into that location, and then put 2 small versions of the flame guy from Hardware Asylum in there side by side, and then spent a good hour hand painting them to actually make them stand out. So, you know, you have this total flame guy logo that's been 3D printed into a vent that just slides into my server. Nice little advertising and just kind of, it prettied it up a lot.
Looks pretty slick. Now I'm used to building home PCs, particularly, you know, enthusiastic gaming PCs. Mm-hmm. So the curiosity is getting the best of me. Wow, what about graphics?
Graphics in a server environment does not matter. But I know where you're going.
Okay, give it to me.
The intention of having a powerful machine like this was that I wanted to add an AI component to Hardware Asylum and Ninja Lane.
Right.
And that started back with me launching labs.ninjalane.com, which was the Ninja Lane BBS or the Ninja Lane Labs BBS. And there was a component in there called Guru, which was a very rudimentary AI. So you'd ask it a question and it would just loop through and then answer something. And
oh man, if you're curious, we have a really great BBS that you can play with.
Oh yeah, it's kind of fun. Well, I thought it would be really cool if I rewrote that Guru and used a real AI. And in a previous podcast episode, we talked about Ollama and how you could host your own AI models on a server as long as you had a GPU to kind of accelerate it. So part of the reason for this upgrade was so that I could do that project.
Right. Now that kind of dovetails into the goals discussion, but I know you have a little bit more hardware that you had to build.
Yeah. Yeah. So I didn't, after the memory, I realized that, well, if I'm going to put graphic cards in this server, HP recommends that I use high performance fans.
Okay. No, but it didn't come with high performance fans then.
No, it didn't. So I went out and actually looked for high performance fans, but at that point is when I found that you could buy the high performance fans and it came with a high performance heat sink kit.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So then it's like, well, what does a high performance heat sink mean?
Yeah, that sounds like something you need.
Yeah. And, you know, again, enthusiasts. So I go out to eBay and it turns out that a lot of these companies have decommissioned some of these servers that have come back off a lease. They may have been damaged or whatever. And they will go and remove the heatsink. So I found a company that sold 2 of the high-performance heatsinks.
Okay.
And they also had a grip of the high-performance fans.
Oh, nice.
So I was able to put the high-performance fans in there, swapped in the heatsinks on. And now I have basically, for not a lot of money, I bought a $15,000 server. The way that it would have been configured from HP.
Wow, that's a good ROI right there.
Yeah, and I didn't necessarily need the high-performance heatsink, but the processors I have were like right on the cusp of where HP would have said, well, you need to have this, and then they would upsell you.
We're Hardware Asylum. We got to get the high-performance parts.
Oh, yeah, obviously. So I put in a couple of high-performance fans, put in the heatsinks, and the difference between the heatsink is that instead of just a finned block that's sitting on top of the CPU, it has, I think it's 4 heat pipes.
Right.
That come out to 2 smaller remote radiators that interface directly with those high performance fans that you would normally install. So the fans are just blowing across that. So the heat pipes are just pulling heat off a lot faster, much like a good heat sink that you would put in your gaming PC.
Yeah, I would definitely see the money there. That's a good investment.
Yeah. And then, of course, I had mentioned that I wanted to do some AI stuff. So I needed to add graphics cards.
Yeah.
Namely, NVIDIA RTX. And to do that, it turns out HP had another upgrade kit
all right,
that you could get. And it was the DL360 G10 GPU enablement kit.
Okay, that sounds like a mouthful, but what's it buy us?
It buys us a, in a sense, it buys us another backplane or riser card, I think is the best way to put it.
Right.
That gives you another power port. So when, much in the, like a gaming PC, if you plug in your graphics card, you have to have power to run it.
Yes.
Because the GPU pulls a certain amount of power. Well, you wouldn't think it in a one-use server that you actually have expansion slots that you can exploit. And on the DL360, you do get two, basically, well, you get a total of three expansion slots. One of them is like 4X and the other two are 16X. But if you put two graphics cards in there with this GPU enablement kit, then you get two full 16X slots.
Nice.
Plus the power that will run those cards.
Okay, now what cards are those?
Oh, this is where I don't know. This is the painful part of the whole process.
Oh, no. Yeah, well, graphics cards are not cheap right now.
Yep. But I went with the RTX A4000.
Okay, so that's not a... Well, that must be an enterprise version, right?
Yeah, it's a workstation card. It's a one-slot or single-slot GPU. A4000 is the Ampere edition. So basically, this is a RTX 3070 equivalent graphics card in the workstation space. One slot in height, so it fits good in the one-use server. It'll,
yeah,
I put two of them in there.
Tight fit.
And it comes with 16 gigabytes of memory, whereas like the 3070 only comes with 8, something like that. So I get a total of 36 gigabytes of memory that I can use for AI processing and whatnot. One generation, well, at this point, two generations old, but basically at the time, one generation old in terms of the RTX technology and still fast enough for what I needed to do.
So we put in two of these video cards.
Uh-huh.
And I'm guessing that's probably the most expensive piece, right? The way graphic cards are right now.
Oh, yeah. So in terms of cost, the A4000 that I purchased, I could get two of those cards for the same cost as a 4000 ADA, which is the upgrade of the ADA generation in the same form factor. Now, the difference there is that the A4000, the older one, only comes with 16 gigabytes of memory. The 4000 ADA comes with 20 gigabytes of memory. But in terms of, you know, what I had to spend for what I got, buying two cards was actually cheaper than buying the one, and then I got more memory out of it.
Well, and the memory is important because that's what AI drives, right?
Yep. Memory is key when it comes to running AI models. It will determine the size of the model that you can run and also how fast it will run.
All right. Well, let's jump back to the goals. So what were you trying to accomplish, you know, goal-wise, and did you get there? I'm assuming yes.
Right. Well, ultimately, the goal was to, you know, put some new hardware in there. As I mentioned, the server that I put in place back during the lockdown was, it was slow. It did not have the performance that I really wanted. And there was just something wrong with the configuration. And, you know, it's a production server, so I couldn't really go in there and take it down for a weekend so I could mess with it.
Right.
So part of it was just to replace this aging hardware. And two, I needed to have an expansion in capacity so that I could do these extra projects. So I wanted to do some AI projects, and I wanted to also host a number of virtual machines to go and do some of these extra tasks. So the AI stuff is going to be in a virtual machine. I host my own email server, and that's in a virtual machine. You know, all these other things, they all add up in the terms of how much memory is required, and the old platform didn't have that. Really, the biggest thing was I needed something to host the website and host the podcast and hopefully host the users that come by and read our content and listen to our shows.
Well, the good news is if you're checking out hardwareasylum.com today or listening to this podcast directly from our site, you're on the new server right now. Bright, shiny, and waiting for you.
For more information on the topics discussed in this podcast, please consult our show notes on hardwareasylum.com. Stay up to date on the latest at Hardware Asylum by subscribing to our RSS or subscribe to us on YouTube. This has been an Engineering Production, copyright 2025. Thanks for listening.